Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Javonte, yesterday was his first day back, so I'll have more information on him. Kobe's been back maybe a day or two before Javonte, but seems to be responding fine. In terms of what he's been able to do with the screening and on court activity, like I said, Javonte had his first day yesterday. Like anything else, winded, being away from it for a period of time. But I'll get a little bit more of an idea today, based on how he responded from yesterday's workout.
Billy Donovan, coach of what's left of the Bulls, or what is made, what comprises the Bulls? I'm not quite sure where. We are your Bulls station when the Bulls are allowed to play, when they do play in whatever shape and form. And I cannot name your Bulls roster.
Stand by. That's what all sports
I think that's
are.
The next Bulls power forward. Stand by. Yeah. We are going to try to find somebody who can name the roster. We're going to go to the Scores Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Rick Camp joins us. Rick Camp is the Bulls postgame.
Hi, Rick.
Rick, Bulls postgame. When will the Bulls have a game they can have a postgame, and who's going to be on that team? Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hi. It seems like, as of now, tomorrow is going to be the time that the Bull, that will be, really that they'll just like have a game so that we can have a postgame show. Really, like, that's the whole thing.
They've missed the thing.
Gotta sell it.
Because tomorrow I'll be hosting from 5 to 6:45, leading you up to Bulls pregame. And really, that entire hour 45, I'm just going to be listing everybody that's in health and safety protocols across the NBA. Then there will be a Bulls game. Chuck Swirsky pregame at 6:45. Whoop. Yada, yada, yada. The game will happen. And then I'll have Bulls postgame.
Okay. Are the announcers still in? Are the color men? Are the legendary Bulls, the dynast centers, still in COVID protocol, health and safety protocol?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything officially either way, and I haven't texted with Wennington since he got his diagnosis. So yeah. I'm not sure.
Hey Rick, is there a chance that game gets banged too? Bulls Lakers that Rick Camp will be hosting even longer that night?
It seems like it's trending in the right direction for both teams. Okay. Like the Lakers, obviously the Bulls have they're getting some guys coming out of the protocols. Now Zach LaVine and, Ayo Dosunmu will not be a couple of those guys. But Kobe White, Javonte Green, DeMar DeRozan, looking like they'll be available. And on the Lakers side, a good sign for them, just in terms of sheer numbers, was the fact that Russell Westbrook tested out of the protocol after like a day and a half. So there haven't been any new positives for them outside of Austin Reeves, who's supposed to be the new Caruso for them. They call him Hillbilly Mamba, but he is.
I love that.
He's the guy that hit the game-winning shot against Dallas, who's basically the white guy in the rotation with shaggy hair this time.
Oh my God.
So that's Austin Reeves, but he's in the health and safety protocols right now. But as of now, the Lakers seem to be good and the Bulls will have enough able bodies.
I want to play a game like romance novelist or superhero or band. Hillbilly Hillbilly Mamba. That's just wonderful. I hope he does well. I want the nicknames are so good. Nicknames like that are so few and far between. That's wonderful.
Hillbilly Mamba. And he's a solid player too, considering all the issues the Lakers have on their roster and why they've been, it's kind of average as they've been this year. He's actually been really important for them when coming into the year. I think the Lakers were hoping ideally he'd be an end of the bench guy that gets to develop and maybe has some sort of small role, like, you know, 5-10 minutes a game. And now he's like a full on 15-20 minute a guy, like full on rotation player that they bank on because of just how flawed their roster is, healthy or not.
I know there was talk last night about creating essentially a taxi squad, a JV, that up to 10 players and not affecting the salary cap because so many teams have been ripped and we've been and been ripped up by this. And then news today that Kevin Durant was placed in health and safety protocols. And yet last night, the Nets said, all right, we need Kyrie. He's going to play in road games. And then today, we are all getting a big laugh out of the idea that Kyrie tested positive and he's in the health and safety protocols. So this is what's going on. Do you know have the Bulls said anything about that kind of taxi squad or JV squad that they won't count against the cap? And who are these players? Can you name the likely roster?
I cannot. I'm like, what I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to pull up the Windy City Bulls roster because that's pretty much what it would likely end up being, even though the Windy City Bulls have been shut down. So like, this is a big weekend for the G League showcase because now that 10-day contracts can happen, like that's a thing where a lot of executives will go to the G League showcase and see, okay, who's improved their game enough to maybe warrant, you know, a 10-day kind of like a chance to see who can still do what. But I haven't, because Billy Donovan spoke before that was kind of getting out there. So I imagine there might be something about that today. I haven't seen anything official saying that that is 100% going to happen. But I mean, at this point, it's not like last year where the league didn't schedule the second half of the season until the first half was almost done and they had a good idea of how many extra games they had to try and squeeze in. The schedule's all set. So pretty much whether it's the NFL or the NBA, they're pretty much saying by hook or by crook, we're getting through this thing. You know, integrity of every game, game in and game out, be damned. And just as an example of that not involving the Bulls, the Magic are in Brooklyn today taking on said Nets. Between the two teams, before either health and safety protocols or injury or whatever, there are 21 players that are questionable or out.
This feels like we're heading towards the pause or the bubble or whatever. This feels like we're going back to the future. It feels that way to me. You see similarities, differences? Where do you think this is going, Rick?
I think in terms of how it's looking, I would normally agree, but I think the context around it all has changed to the point where I think it would have to get even significantly worse than it is right now. Ooh. For them to consider that. Just because of how much was banked on this being the first season that would have like real standard like money made for the league, so that there's a lot banked on, you know, having revenues back to what they were going to be, not just in terms of future salary cap or anything like that, but just in terms of like, for, you know, things getting back to somewhat normal. And, you know, owners / governors, whatever you want to call them, are going to cry poor regardless, but still. Like, that's a thing that was kind of being baked into all this. So I think there's less understanding for it and less flexibility for it right now, to where if you were to bubble up again, likely how this has kind of affected three seasons now, outside of just the actual pandemic in and of itself, but the scheduling and everything that goes along with it, I think that is 100% going to be something that matters and is going to play into the thought process. So that I would be floored if at this point, if they go back into some sort of bubble, or if there is a league-wide pause for multiple weeks or a month or something like that, because it just throws so many other things off.
All right, help me out here, Rick. Who, as of right now, for tomorrow night against the Lakers, who are the healthy starting five? DeRozan is back, right?
Yeah.
Trash Panda.
Trash Pan.
Trash Pan is ready to go.
Well, he's more of a sixth man. See, like, yes, he's a guy, he's going to get the ball and he's going to put up shots.
Kobe Studzinski.
Yeah, three times sixth man of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he's going to have zero traditional assists, but those Kobe assists that are just like flying off the backboard and, like, you know, someone like Vooch will have to rebound it just to, you know, not get decapitated by the shot. That's what he's going to have.
More of a defensive specialist too, guys. And, you know, I'll go lock it up. Yeah. I'll lock it up.
Out of convenience, much scrappy like his relationships.
Yes. So my guess is the starting five will be Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan, Javante Green, and Nikola Vucevic.
Okay.
So that way
it's not bad.
That part looks representative. It's just when you get to the bench, then you're getting to things like, it's pretty much Kobe White, Devon Dotson, like
we've
your two-way
Dotson.
Guys, your Tony Bradleys, maybe you even see the Marko Simanovic experience.
Oh, yes.
You might get
this could be
that.
Fun, Rick. This could be fun, man.
Fun's a word.
Yeah.
Is Noach in any kind of shape? Could they bring him back? Because
where did that come from? Yeah, that's a weird reference.
Because Caruso is modern day Noach.
Oh, I got
he's
you.
That guy for me.
Okay,
and I love Noach, and he just, if nothing else, he gives you energy in minutes. He could do that, and it seems like they want to eat up time. They want to have ball control, right?
I mean, Joakim's around enough.
He is. You're right.
Why not?
Yeah, he can't possibly shoot worse than Vooch's. Oh my God, that's awful.
Yeah, it's really weird what's happened to Vooch with the shooting. But the thing is, like, so many people were so ready to spike the ball on, you guys said this wouldn't fit, like, you know, with bringing in DeRozan and everything. And it's like, well, the thing is, there's two other guys that were already there, not just LaVine, because LaVine can kind of shoot from anywhere. He's such a good shooter that he can shoot from any spot on the floor. But when you think about where guys like to get their shots, DeRozan and Vucevic are extremely similar. They just go about it in different ways. So DeRozan, you know, having the ball as much as he does, and he's been really good, do not get me wrong. But the fact that he's in a lot of those same spots as Vucevic has made Vooch kind of some of his patterns of, okay, this guy moves here, then I move here. He kind of has had to change where he naturally moves on the floor. And some of that's taken him out of rhythm, and some of it has just been being in a slump. So I don't know if that's a confidence thing. I don't know, you know, what that ends up being. But, yeah, he has to be better if this team is going to be, like, even close to what the perception is of what they could be in the playoffs.
I like the idea that a guy that established can get better as far as the Bulls' chances are concerned. And I realize we may not even see the end of this season in what the traditional form. But I... better him than guessing on somebody because he's got a track record. I like the chances, the probability that he will figure it out and then you'll get that kind of guy. In the meantime, what you're getting is an excellent passer. You're still getting a threat. He still has an effect on the way they can play offense when they're at full strength.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely the way that, like Vooch isn't a zero. Like the biggest thing that they missed when Vooch was out was, okay, when there's blitzing of the ball handler, whether it's LaVine or DeRozan, they'll normally try and dump the ball over the top to whoever set the screen. And that guy is kind of between the three-point line and the free throw line. A lot of times that would be Vooch. And at that point, guys collapse on him, and then Vooch has to make the decision, okay, are they staying home and I just put up the 18-footer? Or, okay, guys are collapsing on me. Where do I swing the ball to? One of the wings or one of the corners based on where everybody is? And Vooch is really good in those decision-making situations. So even while the shooting numbers have not been good, in terms of helping to still facilitate some of the offense, he's been pretty good at that, and they need that, especially when they're in the half court, because their offense has definitely been propped up by how good they are when they're in transition.
Now we need to get to the important stuff.
I was waiting.
We are ending as we approach 2022, I surveyed many sites to find out food trends, what they predict, what they suspect, what they know for sure is going to be going on. And with Rick Camp here, co-host, co-founder, co-eater of the I'm Fat podcast, along with Jay Zawoski. Rick, let me run some things by you. As especially now with the threat that, like the Netherlands, for instance, has already gone into lockdown. The whole country's locked down.
but they have hash cafes, so they're okay with that. Yeah. But we'll get back to...
Hey, real quick, guys, before you get to that little bit of Bears breaking news, keeping an eye on my texts here. The Bears have activated defensive tackle, nose tackle, Eddie Goldman from the COVID list and signed a quarterback.
Who?
Ryan Willis.
Who?
Signed...
It's not a real person.
It's like Ryan
you talking
Tom Willis?
About? Ryan?
That's a made-up person. Ryan Tom Willis.
Yes, Peter Tom Willis. Yes, they have signed quarterback Ryan Willis to their practice squad. So that is really good news for the Bears in terms of Eddie Goldman.
Is Eddie Goldman tanking or not? Was he one of the guys who was tanking?
I think if he was tanking, they would have kept him on the COVID list.
All right, okay. So, Rick, let me run by run some of these food products by you.
Mm-hmm.
Macaroni and cheese ice cream.
No.
Yeah, no. Big no. Big
hard,
no.
No. Hard pass.
Okay.
Yeah, 100% agree with that.
Potato milk.
What?
It's boiled. Well, potato milk. Look, if you can make almond milk, you
it might be time to leave milk alone. Might be time to leave milk alone because almond milk is not working out. Cashew milk. Like, I want to like that stuff, but there's nothing to it.
But almond
You know, I agree.
Work.
Like, I get that big milk is trying to make, you know, is trying to make fetch happen here with all these different types of milk. But you know what I like? Regular milk.
Leave it alone.
Well, potato milk is being talked about as the next big thing because it's especially for the vegans, people, the lactose intolerant, boiled portions of the boiled potatoes and the water they're boiled in, and there's your potato milk.
And the horse that rode in on them.
And the horse you rode in.
So wait. It's literally just water that potatoes were boiled in?
And the potatoes, the squished potatoes, yeah.
That sounds
awful.
It sounds like mashed potatoes, but you leave the water in? Uh-huh. I don't.
Yeah.
Right. It's a mashed potato shake.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Put a little butter in there.
How about mashed potato ice cream? How you fix for that? No, that's not a real thing.
No.
Okay.
Like, I like ice cream.
Okay.
I like milk, and I like potatoes.
And macaroni
they don't
and cheese.
All, and mac and cheese. Yeah. They don't all have to become the same item.
Right. They don't all have to sit in the same bed. All right. Cornflake crusted French toast.
Okay. I'm here for that. I like getting the texture difference there.
Would it be better if the cereal were different? This seems like a malleable idea.
You can make French toast
with different crushed cereals.
I mean, isn't Cinnamon Toast is a Cinnamon Toast Crunch a little too on the nose?
No, I don't think, you know, having it exponential would work for me.
Yeah,
I'm in favor of that.
Yeah, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the one that seems to make the most sense to me because you're just adding the same flavor profile even more.
One of the things I saw that I just want to sleep with is cinnamon roll apple cobbler.
Mm.
There are no bad words there.
Yeah. Say that again.
Cinnamon roll apple cobbler.
Oh, yeah. That's
yes.
Hits the spot.
How good would that be? I want that to be a food trend. And this, I can't believe, and I can't believe this didn't exist before. And maybe, Rick, you can say that it did. Buffalo chicken tots.
Oh, just like just like take a big old thing of tots and slap it with buffalo sauce and chicken?
Like, or
and bake it together with like cheese and junk?
Or just sort of, yeah, I guess, but make the chicken like the tots with either potatoes and either fry them or saute them or whatever, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how buffalo chicken and tots didn't all get together in a previous lifetime.
I mean, it feels like they've been trends separate of each other, so they should get together because buffalo chicken is delicious and tots are delicious.
Uh-huh.
And they're things that are actually kind of meant to be on the same plate together, unlike this mac and cheese and ice cream and potato milk garbage. That's not meant to be together. This stuff makes all the sense in the world and complements each other. So, yes, I'm here for that.
773 texter to the Scorers text zone says, stop bleeping with French toast. They're tired of it. Stop it.
Just a lot of butter and a lot of syrup.
I think the reason we do this, 773 texter, is because French toast, much like the French, because it is French, surrendered, and we just do anything we want to it. That's the way it is. So that's what we're going to do.
And then acts better than everybody else, even though they let everybody do whatever they want to it.
That's right. Rick, I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us today. And so far, the schedule holds that Rick will be on the air tomorrow, and you will hear him on The Score, and then you will hear Bulls, Lakers, I think, right? As far as we know, Rick?
In theory. Yeah, that's the plan as of right now.
Or you hear Rick Camp.
Yeah.
Because that's the way it would work, probably. Yeah. Just have a whole show. Rick, do me a favor. Just have a whole show ready to go. Lots of energy. And, you know, get a question out there. Get some calls going. Just be ready. Be ready.
Oh, I will. I mean, hey, it's not like there's anything else going on a Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock to where people would not be listening to me.
Thanks, Rick.
See you guys.
See you, buddy.
All right. 630 texter, buffalo sauce and any type of potato, an undefeated pairing. Yes. That works.
Wait, what was it? Sorry.
What are you typing over there?
I'm sorry. I'm just.
Are you a big fan of the. First, he doesn't show up for the start of the show.
There's Bears stuff happening.
He had a bigger name on the other line.
I'm sorry.
Now what?
I am looking up Ryan Willis information. I'm looking at my text to see if there's anything new.
Wait, is it Brian or Ryan?
If you haven't heard, it is Ryan Willis.
Does it really matter?
It's a newer type of thing. He played college football for Virginia Tech. I don't think he's taken a snap in the NFL.
Shocking.
Yes.
Well, that means he hasn't been nagged. You can already see Justin Fields' career ending, just like everybody else that he's coached.
So. Yeah. Wait a minute. Wait. Okay. Never mind. Sorry. Okay. I'm focused again. It's just Eddie Goldman activated, Ryan Willis, Ladarius Mack, the brother of Khalil Mack, back on the active roster as well, according to what I'm reading.
How'd that work out for him the first time? How'd that work out for the Bears?
He almost had half a sack.
He had a play.
No, he did, didn't he? And Khalil was on the sideline that day. Yeah.
Why don't we just take a break and then we'll start what Mark heard. We'll see how long this takes.
Right before I get distracted again.
top of the yeah, at least you'll be part of the show. Top of the hour, we'll talk to Jim Schwantz about what's left of the Bears and wonder why Matt Nagy gets to jeopardize Justin Fields for yet another week. A legend turned 75 today, and we have did you guys make your lists?
I got to do that, too. I'll do that during the break.
Can't show up on time. You suck.
For the day, man.
Saturday's sucking. Mark is showing how much you suck so you don't have to. I hope you people appreciate it. Right down to the end of the year. Chicago Sports Radio sucks 70 to score.
La, 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 la.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Rack and Yak.
It's time for What Mark Heard on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Buffalo chicken tater tots casserole. That would work.
Again, all the words you just used sound wonderful.
As the I'm Fat podcast often says, there are no bad words in that sentence.
Exactly. Yes. That sounds like something I might make tonight. Yeah. I got nothing on the schedule. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know that schedule.
Yes.
Welcome in, welcome back. Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score Saturday Suckage. It's now time for our near award-winning segment, What Mark Heard. Mark, what you heard?
We've heard a lot from Jalen Johnson this week and the comments that he made on Redline Radio about the locker room. Maybe we hear that again, and then we'll get some reaction from the Bears on it. So, Studs, if you have the Jalen Johnson cut, let's play that first as a refresher, and then we'll hear from Sean Desai.
Yeah, the side of the locker room that is starting to go into the tank, and you have the guys that are still trying to fight and figure out how we can get better.
Now, Sean Desai was asked yesterday. So, hey, man, one of your guys says half the locker room is lost. Is that the case?
From your vantage point, have you seen any indication of that?
Yeah, no, I'm not aware of the podcast. No, I have not. I have not. You know, I think you start in that game. Our guys are competitors, and I think they're going to kind of fight and claw for everything that they've got. And it's our jobs as coaches to make sure they're in the best positions and they know their techniques and fundamentals to be able to go execute. You know, you've seen that throughout the course of this year, regardless of at least on defense, who we played on defense. And we played a good number of people, and that's part of this league where you got to be able to do that. And so the next man up mentality, and we're going to continue to do that as we move forward. And the expectation is always going to be the expectation. The standard is going to be the standard that we need to play high level of defense and we need to be able to execute for 60 plus minutes.
Used a lot of words there, didn't he, Stevie Sunshine? But that's what I guess you expect them to say, whether or not that's the real answer or not. I don't know. And I kept it long because he just kind of went on his own little crusade there, did Sean Desai, as Matt Nagy probably will do today.
Well, I would expect the coach speak of, yeah, I know those guys. They fight. Just like whatever he said about Nagy, we heard what Sean Desai said. And Sean Desai's credibility is shrinking regularly as Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur and Devontae Adams reduced him to being incapable of defending anything, being incapable of adjusting. Matt Nagy is worse because he couldn't see what was going on and then denied it. Well, you know, he wasn't really in the slot. Well, yes, he was. As a matter of fact, he was. But I think that what the coaches are going to say is what they, like you said, what they have to say. Everybody knows they have to lie, so they're going to lie, right? They're going to say that.
Yes, of course.
And there's no reason. As you said, with a team that's 4-9, why wouldn't it be surprising that some guys would have checked out, made business decisions?
Of course.
Of course they have.
Like that. Yeah. And Sean Desai's been around long enough to know that.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. It's probably happened before with the Bears. It's happened with many NFL locker rooms. Around a sport that violent, and you're out of the playoff picture, and you've got your money. What's motivating you? Oh, and the fact that all your bosses are on their way out, potentially.
Right? Should be.
Because, like,
that's a crazy haul.
It's human nature kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no direction right now. So I get it. All right. Bill Lazor. Always honest. And Bill Lazor, if you get listen closely, because Bill Lazor sort of talks in a very a matter of fact tone,
mm-hmm.
but it's pretty I'll just call it tough love for Tevin Jenkins. Tell me if you agree.
I have high expectations for Tevin. We make no excuses about how we play. So that's both as a team and for a player. The fact that he really hasn't been able to practice with pads on in the NFL, that's life, you know, and he's paid to get a job done. So we expect him to get it done. And I bet you he would tell you he expects to get it done. So my expectations for Tevin don't change. I don't mean to sound harsh, but I think part of building a culture is that wins and that has high expectations is that you set the bar high and you keep the bar there regardless of who's in the game, and you don't change expectations because the backup went in and it's the backup's job to be ready to step in when it's time. And when Jason went down and Tevin went in, we got to expect the same level of play that we always would. Some people would say that that's unrealistic, but I would say that if that's your mindset over time, you're going to build the right culture.
Hey, Tevin Jenkins, you're a second round pick. You're the backup left tackle. We know it was your first game. It was a rough game, but guess what? No excuses. We need you to be good. Did you hear that in that?
I heard that. I also heard this. I believe that to be short-sighted. I heard that to be lacking common sense.
From Bill Lazor?
Yes.
Okay.
Because, like you just said, we know it's your first game. You're a right tackle. we wanted you to play left. You never got the chance to play left because you got hurt. Bye-bye. See ya. Here you are, and your quarterback has broken ribs. The Bears ignored a lot of common sense moves. And right after the game, Matt Nagy was talking about, well, you know, if you use a guy, you know, if you chip, you keep a guy in, well, you got fewer receivers out there. So you know where his thinking, where Matt Nagy's thinking is, which influences Bill Lazor's thinking. Matt Nagy's thinking is, well, I need more guys in the pattern so I can doodle up some really nifty plays. And the last thing on that list, apparently, is protecting the quarterback with the broken ribs, who is the future of this franchise if there's going to be a future. That's what it sounded like to
me. So you think it sounds like the coaches, he's ill-prepared because of the coaches?
Yes.
Kevin Jenkins.
And he was going to be ill-prepared anyways, but he wasn't helped by his coaches. I don't think they put him in a position to win, in a position to succeed. And that's where I had a problem with that's what I read into what Bill Lazor was saying. Mm-hmm. I understand the need. Next man up, and you have to be good. But that shows no common sense. It doesn't take into consideration any of the context with which he is playing that position and who he's protecting. Right? What am I missing here? Why should Tevin Jenkins be expected to be Jason Peters? What am I missing here?
I don't think that they expected him to be that, obviously.
But that's kind of what he sounded.
I think what they're saying to him is, guess what? It's not okay for you to go out there and commit 4 penalties. It is not okay for you to allow your man to strip sack Justin Fields. Like, they get it. But they're going to put high expectations on a highly drafted, well thought of player. So I think that while I'm sure every rookie gets a little bit of room, especially those who miss training camp and those who have had back surgery, but at the same time, they are saying, we need you. And we're not just developing you and letting you play through the pain. Get out there and be good. So to me, I took the opposite approach. I think it was refreshing to hear that it's not just not just all this. He's a rookie babble, and you know he's going to get better. No, we drafted you where we drafted you, and we need you to be good. Stat.
I understand that. I appreciate the tough love, and I appreciate the blame on the player. I appreciate the expectation. I want the bar set high. Again, I go back, and maybe it's the several years I've seen a coaching staff fail repeatedly to put their players in a position to win, not knowing what they're seeing out there on the field. That strikes me as just a disastrous decision with a quarterback who starts the game with broken ribs. You need to help a right tackle playing left tackle in his first NFL game in prime time. Don't be shy about it. And if you're going to show that kind of tough love, then why aren't you, you know, you say the same thing about Justin Fields. He's been the worst at ball security. He's horrible. He's cost the Bears possessions. He's awful at that. He has not he's played, what, 10 games, 11 games? 11 games and 10 fumbles. He's tied for the lead league among quarterbacks in fumbles.
Needs better awareness.
And he's thrown, what, 10 picks?
So yeah, he's played like 4-10.
He's worth almost 2 turnovers a game. Do you hear that criticism coming down on him? Do you read into it like that? You listen to these people every day.
Hey, I mean, they're not, but if somebody did, you'd be loving it if the Lazor was like, hey, this guy's got to protect the ball more. He keeps coughing it up. He's got to be more aware.
The fact that they don't is why why I have an issue with this coaching staff.
Different rules for different people.
Right. Though. And you can make that. You can say that. Hey, quarterback's too important. Yeah. His mindset is too important. Really? Ball security is too important. I don't give a damn about his mindset. Hold on to the ball.
I would definitely.
Protect the ball.
I don't want to fight you on that. I agree with that. Like, it's been frustrating to watch Justin Fields at times this year. All right. On to our guy, Olin Krutz. And
I get scared just when you say that.
I know. Well, you should, because this is a scary. This one is scary, actually. Steve, do you know, what do you think of Urban Meyer, by the way?
Scum. he is pun scum.
Second.
He is Satan's rectum.
Well, Satan's rectum was fired. You realize that, right? He got fired. And
Right.
One of the things that he supposedly was doing was kicking
the kicker.
Kicking the kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And Olin Krutz was asked on the Parkins and Spiegel show yesterday, "Hey man, what would you do?"
Oh. If a coach kicked him.
Roll tape.
I'm gonna be extremely honest with you guys, and I'm not saying I was the toughest guy in the world, but no one's gonna kick me at that age in my 20s. Okay, you're not gonna come by me and put your hands on my back. So it wouldn't have been good for anybody if it was a real kick. Especially, I don't care if you're the president of the United States of America. You are not gonna kick me. His Secret Service better be fast. I will risk everything to get back at you for kicking me. So dumb by the coach there. Now listen. We don't know. He denies it, right? We don't know what happened there. Was it like a tap kick? You know, you kick somebody on the ground, like, you know, try to tell a joke and kick them in the leg. Then it would be all right. We're all teammates. We're all part of the same team. But if you're kicking somebody for real, man, that's crazy. And then if a grown man tells you, "I don't want to be kicked," the only thing you say is, "Look, man, I'm sorry about that," right? You don't say, like, "I'm the mother effing head coach." If that really did happen, just, you know, it just wouldn't have been a good scene if somebody would have kicked me when I was in my 20s on an NFL football field.
Guys, how many body bags do you think they would have needed if someone...
I would love...
I just can't imagine. I mean, like, first of all, one of my core principles, like, really high on my list of things not to do is mess with Olin Krutz.
Uh-huh.
So, like, yeah. Just, I love that they asked him
this
question.
It's a good policy, Trash Fan.
Yes, yes.
It? Well, and then Olin also, in a follow-up, and I didn't add this to the segment, but in the follow-up, he was talking to the guys about Aaron Cromer in New Orleans. I don't know if you guys remember that story, but Aaron Cromer was kind of like, I don't think he was kicking anybody, but he was like using very condescending, coachy language.
Uh-huh.
Krutz, I don't remember what the exact story was. Krutz made him stop. Let's put it that way. He got on Aaron. I don't know if it got physical or not, but
wasn't there something?
He pinned him against the wall.
I was going to say, held
Drew Brees
held against the wall. Yeah.
And then Brees might have broke it up.
Funny story. So I booked that guy. That guy's part of the media now.
Who?
Cromer.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he does Saints games or something.
He used
like
to,
that.
By the way, Aaron Cromer, former Bears offensive coordinator, too.
So I can't remember. For whatever reason, I booked him for the pregame show like 2 years ago. And after I booked him, like, we're talking before the show, me and Olin, he's like, "Oh, yeah, I pinned that guy against the wall."
Oh,
and
then
I'm
like, "Oh, really? Like, sorry.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have booked him." He's like, "No, it's cool."
wait, did you have him on then?
Yeah.
Oh, so Krutz and Cromer have been on the radio together since he pinned him up against the wall.
Yes.
That's awesome. I was not aware
of it. It was at that point probably like, you know, 7 years ago. I guess it's probably in the past. But I was like, "Oh, really? I wouldn't have booked him if I'd have known that."
Cromer was also the guy in the Bears locker room who like told the secrets about Jay Cutler to a national reporter, wasn't it? And then he cried in the locker room or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that's when everybody got fired. We're letting him go early, a week early. Nobody's going to be offensive coordinator. It doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah.
That was the end of the Trestman era. That was ugly as hell. Yeah. We'll take a break. Welcome back with more of What Mark Heard and Try Not to Be as Scared. Is the rest of it? I won't be as scared, right? The idea.
No, you won't. So
the idea of Olin either kicking me or me like making the mistake of going at Olin, and then you'd be.
Let me give it a tease.
Dental records would not even be.
So here's what I have left. I think this will fascinate the audience. Tashaun Gibson on Mike Pettine, who might be the defensive coordinator.
Yep, yep, yep.
Justin Fields on the week that has been. And then Matt Nagy asked the question, "Can you do stuff the way Bill Belichick does stuff?"
The answer is no.
Stick a break.
Well, actually, he could. The way Bill
That's
Belichick.
That's a tease for all you listeners out there. Stay tuned.
Bears.
He can do stuff like Bill Belichick did in Cleveland, not New England. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Go Bears.
We don't have turds on this team.
Quitters, yeah. Yeah. Ask Jalen Johnson and then lie about what he said. And the ignorance of the ignorance up there. Now, wait to hear from Matt Nagy. Say, no, that's not just not true. I don't see anybody quitting here. Welcome in, welcome back. We are in part two.
More arrogance by Matt Nagy.
Yeah, there you go. We're in part two.
Yeah.
Of our near award winning segment, What Mark Heard. Mark, what you heard.
So it is possible that Mike Pettine, an assistant to Sean Desai on the defensive side of the ball, the former Cleveland head coach, the former Green Bay Packers defensive coordinator. Mike Pettine could be the Bears defensive coordinator on Monday night if Sean Desai does not pass the COVID test. So Tashawn Gibson has experience with Mike Pettine, so I thought I'd let you listen to the Bears safety about Pettine.
Man, I like Coach Pett. I feel like, man, I had some of my most phenomenal years under Coach Pett's defenses. That's just who Coach Pett is. I have no doubt in my mind that Coach Pett will be able to come in here and call a game the way that he seemed fit, obviously within the system that Coach Desai has built. But, you know, he's been doing this for a long time. He's respected, man. His defense is always dating back to before I even had a chance to play for him in Cleveland. He took our defense and made us respectable. We had three Pro Bowlers in the secondary. So, you know, that in his first year. So I believe Coach Pett. I believe in what he do. I believe in what he stand for, man. And you know, Coach Pett, I have nothing but admiration and love for Coach Pett, man, dating back to my time in Cleveland. So I think that we're in good hands. If Coach Sean won't be there, I think that Coach Pett definitely is comfortable doing this, man. He was, he was coaching the NFC Championship game last year. So obviously we're in good situation, man, if it boils down to that.
So there is Gibson on Pettine. And you know what? The way I look at all of this, because of where the Bears are, it's like, what the hell? You know what I mean? Like, give Pettine a shot. Put Matt Nagy back on play calling for a day. See what happens. Who knows, man? I mean, like, and with the Matt Nagy thing, too, like, if he got play calling back, don't you think he would kind of just have a let's just go for it, because he knows his days are winding down. He's lost. He stripped play calling from himself. Don't you think he would just try to go crazy for a day?
I think we see that in the first 15 plays, the scripted part.
Yeah.
I think he's doing that. And I think that's why it's even more, that's why he should have been fired a month ago or should have been fired on Thanksgiving. It's even more dangerous, that attitude, because he's trying to put stuff on film, right? And what we see on film, on video, whatever it is, we see the cowardliness. He's not going to go for it on 4th and 2, on 4th and 1, whatever. I'm aggressive. You'll find out about me real quick.
No, that's a good point. So maybe he would go all conservative. Maybe it would be the absolute opposite.
But you have no idea. What's in danger is Justin Fields' ribs. Justin Fields' health is in danger with Matt Nagy calling plays. And I understand what you're saying. Why not? Justin Fields is why not. Justin Fields' health is why not.
Well, speaking of that, let's get into Justin Fields. I have put together some of what I thought were the most pertinent clips of the week from Justin Fields, and you'll get into his health here a little bit within this, but he starts with, Justin Fields does, just all that has happened with with COVID-19, just, you know, all over the locker room.
I mean, we've done this before, so it's not new. We had it the week we played Detroit on Thanksgiving, so it's not like it's something new to us. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all grown men. We all are here for one reason, and that's to win games. So if, you know, guys can't lock in for a walkthrough, then, you know, that's on them at the end of the day. And, you know, it's partly my job to make sure the other guys around me are locked in and, you know, taking the walkthrough seriously.
Tevin Jenkins was put in a tough spot the other night, you know, coming in cold in a key position, his first NFL snaps on offense. What was your impression about how he handled that?
I think, you know, Tev wanted to play better than he did, but of course, you know, him, that being his first game, he's not going to be perfect. So I just told him that, you know, everything's going to be fine. And I mean, really, you just kind of have to look in retrospect. Like me, my first start, I had one net passing yard. So it's just like, you know, it's going to get better. And I just told him to keep his head down. And, you know, I just reached out to him after the game because I know, you know, he was feeling a little bit down.
How do you feel? He said you were at about 90% during the game. Has that gone up?
Yeah, I'm slowly getting better each and every day. Of course, I was pretty sore after the game from not playing a couple of weeks, but I'm getting better.
You like the humility out of Justin Fields kind of making the joke about himself.
Yeah, right. I had 1 yard, you know, -1 yard.
Hey, look at
me,
man. Yeah.
Right. And that's terrific. I love that. And he's a guy who will need to be coached and reined in and whatever. And I like that about him. I got massive questions. The ball security.
Amen.
The ball security that people talked about coming out of the draft. Going into the draft, coming out of the draft, it exists. It's real.
It is
it's
real.
Bad.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're running out of time here. So one more cut on what Mark heard before we get to Jim Schwantz at the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the question is in it. So here's Matt Nagy
Belichick, in a situation a couple weeks ago against Buffalo, changed his whole game plan. Are you equipped to do that kind of thing?
Well, that was pretty drastic what they did. That was a great job by Coach Belichick and Coach McDaniels what they did. And when you're in that situation, it's not the first time he's done something like that. So they pretty much said we're going to run the ball and stop us, and ran a few plays the whole time. And those type of situations, when you're prepared and you can do that, I think it speaks to that they did a great job. I think for sure that we understand where we're at and whatever we need to do if we think it's going to give us advantage. I think that game is probably a little different, right? Because literally there was times where it was 3rd and 15, 3rd and 11, and they're running the ball, right? You know, on a under center run. Whatever we need to do to give us the best chance to win, we'll do it.
Yes,
that's a lie. He doesn't do that.
No,
what
no.
You gotta do.
I don't think he knows what will give his team the best chance to win. I think that's the problem. I think he believes he would do that. I don't think he's smart enough to know that. Everything that goes into making that decision in a wise way.
And he also now knows, based on not going for it on fourth down last week.
2 weeks in a row.
That he can't do it.
He can. He hasn't given him the chance. What does he got to lose?
He finally knows that his team is not capable often of getting 1 yard when they need 1 yard. And that's not just this year.
Drive him to O'Hare. Or
Midway?
Midway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually like Midway better.
Drive him to Bradley International Airport in Hartford, and then let him fly wherever.
Where's that?
Hartford.
Connecticut?
Yeah.
He really? Said, he no. Literally said it's in Hartford.
No, but I know that.
Where's Hartford? Well, that's
it. But it didn't make sense because we're in Illinois and Hartford is not.
But the point is to make it as painful on him as he has made it on us.
Yeah, see, I needed that. I needed that. Like, I need a little bit more background.
Sorry, you're running behind today
on your joke.
Yeah, all right, yes. Here we go.
That's right. I'm way off.
It's Dr. Jim Schwantz after this. Saturday Suckage, of course. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.